You're listening to Linux News Log, separating the Linux and open source signal from the noise.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/quicksurf. Over 85,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Hey everybody, how's it going? I'm your host Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio MC1 at QuickSurf Internet Services. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. I encourage you to head on over to techpodcast.com and check out all the other technology-related shows over there. Before we get into the news for this episode, I want to make an announcement. I will be attending the Los Angeles Blog World and New Media Expo November 4th and 5th. So for those of you in the audience who are planning to attend, or perhaps you are on the fence about whether or not you're going to attend, if you want to meet me in person, that is the place to do it. So do feel free to walk up and say hi if you see me. I'll be out on the expo floor doing interviews and basically networking and, you know, attending the expo as it were. So feel free to walk up and say hi. So with that, let's go ahead and get into the news for this episode. Starting off over at ZDNet, Microsoft is going to stop Linux and older versions of Windows from running on Windows 8 PCs. This is, in my opinion, a little offensive. This was posted by Stephen J. Von Nichols. Thanks to Mary Jo Foley, we now know that in the name of security, Microsoft will be trying to use the UEFI, which is the Unified Extensible Firmware Interface, to block Linux and older versions of Windows and other alternative operating systems from booting on Windows 8 PCs. Now, this is basically the same thing that Apple does for their MacBooks, MacBook Pros, Mac Pros, you name it. They use the EFI interface, and it basically lets them lock the hardware down to just what they want you to run on it. So pretty interesting stuff. So check it out. I'm okay with that. It's not like you're going to be buying a, you know, brand new off the shelf, you know, Dell computer that is loaded with Windows 8 and go and load Linux on it or something like that. You know, the Linux crowd usually tends to be more of a build your own computer type of crowd. So I'm fine with that personally. From PC World, in their Linux Line blog, NetBoot CD, a handy tool for managing multiple Linux distributions. This is pretty neat. If you're like many Linux fans, you keep multiple different flavors of the free and open source operating system on hand. Boy, do you ever. After all, each Linux distribution tends to have strengths in particular areas, so it's nice to be able to choose which one you run depending on the task at hand. Yeah, it'd be nice if we just had one distro that did it all. The downside of this scenario, however, is that keeping them all up to date. Yep. For many of us, that means burning a new CD each time a new release of one of our favorite distributions comes out, resulting in an ever-growing stack of CDs and a fairly significant headache. The good news is there's a handy tool to help with that problem, as Make Use Of blogger Justin Pott recently pointed out. It's called NetBoot CD, and it was just updated to version 4.5 this past month. The rest of this article goes through using it and some of the things the author ran into, so pretty interesting read. Do check it out. From the Register, OpenStack adds a web dashboard to their floating Linux kernel. OpenStack, the open source infrastructure cloud project founded by Rackspace and NASA, has released a new version of its platform, adding over 70 tools to the existing code while unveiling two new creations: a web dashboard for both administrators and users, and an authentication system that spans the platform. Codenamed Diablo, this is the first version of OpenStack to arrive under the project's new six-month release schedule. Initially releases every 3 months, with Diablo developers from a myriad computer companies have beefed up the project's existing sub-platforms. The Nova Compute platform, the Swift storage platform, the Glance image manager, etc., etc. So pretty interesting stuff. Check it out. From the online in their security section. IP Cops VPN and Firewall Linux has been updated. So IP Cop 2.0 Linux firewall distribution updates the kernel to version 2.6.32. They add hardware support for Cobalt, Spark, and PPC systems and includes a new installer that assists users with such tasks as setting up a network. The developers have also revised the user interface. So check it out if you're an IP Cop user. From the Sacramento Bee at sacbee.com in their PR Newswire section, SUSE Linux Enterprise Server selected for use with SAP. Pretty nice. SUSE has announced as part of its ongoing partnership with SAP AG that SUSE Linux Enterprise Server has been selected for use with SAP HANA. Our partners with SAP and IBM have enabled thousands of customers to gain from the exciting benefits of SUSE Linux has to offer, including decreased operating costs and improved performance, said Michael Miller, Vice President of the Global Marketing and Alliances. SUSE Linux Enterprise Server has been recognized by both SAP and IBM as the operating system for use with SAP HANA based on its technical capabilities and ease of use. So, pretty awesome stuff. Also, over at Enterprise Apps Today, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 6 gets SAP blessing. This is pretty neat. There's now a new choice for those looking to deploy SAP applications on Linux. Red Hat has announced that its Enterprise Linux 6 operating system platform has now been certified for SAP. So, pretty neat stuff. Obviously, Red Hat Enterprise Linux 6 is the latest release of Red Hat's flagship Linux platform, and it was first released in November 2010. SAP applications had been certified on previous Red Hat releases, including Red Hat Enterprise Linux 5. So, pretty awesome. From Information Week, Linux Foundation is confirming a malware attack. They emailed all of their users last week and warning them that an attacker had compromised linuxfoundation.org and linux.com, as well as their subdomains. The attacker may have stolen usernames, email addresses, passwords, etc., etc. The attack was discovered on Thursday, and the foundation is still conducting a full audit of the affected sites. We are in the process of restoring services in a secure manner as quickly as possible, it said in a notice posted on the front page of the Linux Foundation website. Now, this happened the week before September 12th. I did previously report on this. I'm going to report on it again for those of you who did not get it. This is kind of a big deal, so keep your eyes out and your ears open. That will do it for this edition of Linux News Log. As always, everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes. You can find those online at linux.quicksurf.com. And I do encourage you to visit us online. You can get a hold of me online by a variety of ways. You can shoot me an email, linux@quicksurf.com. I also have a Twitter, a Google Plus, Facebook, friend feed, etc., etc. So feel free to head on over, check out. They're all in the latest the show notes, so all the links are there. So check it out. And with that, I will see all of you on the next episode. I'll see you then. Bye.